Okay, turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We're going to have a brief look at Jonah 2 this morning. We hear a lot about men's free will, men's choices, men's rights in the world. It seems that even our children are being taught at the moment, it doesn't matter what they were born, they can choose whatever sex they want to be even. And it doesn't help that the religious world continues to encourage that same sort of thinking. They speak of free will in regard to salvation. They speak of having the right before God to determine their own lives. And in a sense, they invert the whole thing. And so that they dethrone God and they elevate men, they puff men up into a position of being God themselves. It's as far from the truth as the East is from the West. We are born into this world in bondage and sin. We're born of and into corruption. Ephesians 2 makes it clear we're dead in our sins and transgressions. And we are by nature children of wrath, just like everyone else. Romans 6 makes it clear that we're born into this world actually as slaves of sin. And we've been enslaved to Satan since we walked out of the Garden of Eden in our father Adam. In regard to salvation, men need saving. And there is only one truth about that salvation, and that is that it's found in Christ and Him crucified. We need to be saved, and we need to be sustained. And our lives, the lives of God's children, are a testimony to His faithfulness in our sanctification. We all know the story of Jonah. He was commanded by the Lord to cry against Nineveh. I don't know if we all know, but Nineveh was the capital city of the superpower at the time, and they were enemies of Israel. Many judged Jonah, and in a sense rightly so, but we can understand with that gravity Jonah's response, and he fled from the Lord. We know that he got into a boat, just happened to be there. And we just need to be careful about providence, considering providence as a way of escaping the Lord or contradicting his word. But it really was a ship of providence, just not the way Jonah thought naturally, not the way the world thinks, but we'll see. It really was a ship of providence. So he was cast into the sea eventually as a result. And we need to remember that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people began in eternity in the everlasting covenant. And in spite of what our life looks like, in spite of what we look like, that grace has continued and will continue for eternity. Jonah was cast into the sea, and again, this is another good example, I guess, where the sea's used to remind us of the tossing and throwing of the world under the consequences of sin. It's not the only place it's used, and in a sense, it is used here in a spiritual view of a circumstance. I want to begin in verse 17 of chapter 1. Because we're reminded there that no matter where we go, the Lord is with his people, just like in Psalm 139. Chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. It's a great picture of our Saviour and us in him. It's a great picture of his time in the grave and our time in the grave in him. And it's a great reminder that when he was raised in victory, we were raised in him. So chapter 2 begins. Then, after Noah had been cast into the consequences of his sin, after he'd been overwhelmed with the consequences of his sin, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of my afflictions. If anyone thinks God's not sovereign and working for the good of his people in the greatest of our afflictions, they need to go back and read the Bible. It was those afflictions sent from God which drove Jonah back to the Lord and back to prayer. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. See, there is a historical perspective here, but there's also a spiritual perspective. I want to really encourage everyone. I studied this and I preached on it about 4 years ago, and I was really thorough, and I looked at a lot of commentaries, and I looked at I listened to a number of sermons and spent a lot of time in it and had a lot of discussions with Angus over it. I read this the other day, and there's just so much more to it. Please, even if you know a passage, go back and read it and ask the Lord to continue to open your understanding. His word is infinitely deep, and it's living and active and applicable for every moment of your life. Out of the belly of hell, he cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou had cast me into the deep. It's amazing, isn't it? Jonah was cast into the deep, and his whole process was about running away from the Lord. And yet the truth is, the Lord was driving him to exactly where he wanted him. For thou had cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea of the world and the consequences of sin, and the floods compassed me about. He was overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed when we fall, when we fail, and when this world is too much for us. But it's come from the sovereign hand of God, hasn't it? All thy billows. It's God's doing. It's God's sea. It may seem like chaos to us, but it's well in control under the hand of a sovereign God. Thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. It's interesting, isn't it, that the big issue, when all the other issues get whittled down, the big issue for a Christian is the presence of God, the desperate desire for communion with the Lord. That's the big issue. I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Just like Peter in John 6 we heard last week, where else do the saints go? Everyone else, if the Lord's not working in their hearts, runs, and they run to all sorts of refuges of lies. But there's only one place that the saints are driven by the Lord, and that's back into his temple. The waters had compassed me about, just like the world does to us, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. The weeds, the entanglements of this world, the things that would draw us away from the Lord. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the lowest of low. The earth with her bars was about me forever. It's a great picture of the earth, isn't it? It is truly. Without the Lord, this earth, this world, is a prison with its enticements and its entanglements. Yet has thou brought my life up from corruption. This is the only true salvation. We hear so many different stories about the way men gain favour with God, the way they earn merit before God and earn their salvation. And yet there's only one way of salvation, and that's Christ being crucified. You've brought my life up from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. There is only one way that men prevail with the Lord, and it's by the advocacy of the Son and the Spirit. We don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit intercesses with his groanings, and our Lord stands as that lamb slain in the midst of the throne, ever presenting our justification before his Father in heaven. These are the grounds by which we approach God. These are the only grounds, and this is the only truth. Look at verse 8 there. They that observe lying vanities. It's a wonderful description of false religion, isn't it? Anything other than the truth of the gospel in any direction is a lie. But it's not just a lie, it's a lie that puffs men up with vanity, isn't it? It dethrones God and it puts man on the throne of his own salvation. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But, and here's the contrast, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That's all we can do. If salvation's of the Lord, that's all we can do. And even then we need his grace to thank him. I will pay that that I have vowed. How do we pay our vows before the Lord? It's our witness, isn't it? It's glorifying him in our salvation. It's interesting that these people with their lying vanities are trying to gain access to God. But the true witness of faith is a declaration of access achieved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to this place, because this is the purpose of our trials and our afflictions and all the things that would assault us in this world, all the things that overwhelm us, the Lord has used this here and he uses it in our lives to bring us back to this place where we completely rely on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. And that's why in verse 10, and the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. The sea is a graphic representation of the world tossed to and fro by sin. But this dry land, Jonah's been deposited back on the rock of his salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a merciful God. Thank you that in the midst of our great frailty and all the things that would assault us and set themselves against us, that they might set themselves against you, Heavenly Father, they're all in your sovereign hands. They're all used by you, Heavenly Father, for our good. And what is our good? To be in relationship with our Saviour. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that no matter how far we stray and how far we fall and how far we drift, you draw us back again and again and again. Thank you, Father, that you do that by the power of your Spirit and by the blood of our great Saviour. Father, remind us when we start to drift into this world again, whether it's open wickedness or whether it's into false religion and a false understanding of who we are. Stop us, Heavenly Father, please, and just bring us back to yourself and remind us again of the amazing faithfulness and security that we can only be found, that can only be found in our great Saviour. Thank you for your mercy upon us. I pray your blessing today in Christ's precious name.